Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, Eric Swalwell, congressman from California, had an interesting run-in in the Capitol. He was walking through the Capitol with his mask on, and a staffer from Marjorie Taylor Greene, just a staffer, an employee, comes up to him, gets in his face, tells him to take off his mask, said, haven't you heard? You don't have to wear your mask anymore. The staffer gets in the congressman's face. Swalwell can take care of himself. Swalwell's father was a police officer in Iowa. Swalwell himself was a prosecutor. It's like, you know, F off, punk. He didn't use that F word. No, he didn't. He said, get out of here, punk. But, you know, for Marjorie Taylor Greene to have her aides go up and get in congressman's face over wearing a mask, enough's enough. Gina Beauclair said she's crazy. Gina Beauclair has a mental health employment background where she's dealt with mental health people before. This is diaper woman, Marjorie Taylor Greene, shouting through a mail slot, take off your diaper. Well, that's kind of a weird thing. Okay, Marjorie Taylor Greene, I don't want to get grub around the entrails of her emotions. All right. And then she has one of her aides going up to Eric Swalwell, very prominent congressman, very fine congressman, who was a presidential candidate for a period of time, and getting in his face, telling him to take off his mask. I mean, hey, Jack, this isn't a case of somebody in the store saying, please put on a mask because it's store policy. This is somebody where masks are required on the floor of the Congress. So he walks out with it, doesn't take it off right away, and the guy gets in his face. Unbelievable. And speaking of Marjorie Taylor Greene, this is great. AOC, she overstated it. Ocasio-Cortez overstated it. But here's a direct quote. Ocasio-Cortez said, I once worked as a bartender, and Marjorie Taylor Greene was the type of person I used to throw out of bars. Now, first of all, she's overstating it a little bit. Yes, Marjorie Taylor Greene is the type that you would want thrown out of bars, but AOC did not go up to Ilsa the She-Wolf of QAnon, a woman of size, and throw anybody out. I'm sure AOC called the bouncer, somebody like Luke, I don't know if you ever worked as a bouncer, but you'd be a good bouncer. But they would go up to them, or maybe Crudy, working as a bouncer, or Fancy Brian, and go
up. Fancy Brian's worked as a bouncer. Fancy Brian is a very good bouncer. Oh yeah. He's worked at many clubs. I've bartended, but I am not a large man. I can hold my own, but I'm a medium-sized person. So Fancy Brian, though, he is the bouncer.
Yeah, he's a good man. Fancy Brian, apparently he was a bouncer. Very affable guy, very gentle guy, very, very good at what he does, radio guy. But AOC did not throw people like Marjorie Taylor Greene out of bars. She absolutely made sure they were thrown out of bars, and they should have been thrown out of bars. But she called up the Fancy Bryans. That's what she did. At the door, she'd say, Fancy Brian, throw this strange person out. And, you know, that's it, right?
Yes. Brian is all of those things, but he could also throw me 20 feet easily. So, yes. We have Brian if we ever need that.
How much more do we need? You know, this gal, Marjorie Taylor Greene, shouts through a mail slot about diapers and daycare and all this. And her aide gets in Derek Swalwell's face. So AOC has had enough, and I support that 100%. One good development in the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, they have rejected 6-1 a redistricting rule change that was sought by a conservative group that was really shilling for the Republican Party. What this group is worried about is that when the redistricting comes in, and it's going to be a crooked redistricting put in by Voss, Evers will veto it, and then it'll go to court. And they wanted the state Supreme Court, in effect, to say that we're going to take that case right away. Basically, federal court, stay out of it. And the state Supreme Court, 6-1, said, no, we're not going to do that. We're also not going to prejudge what we would do if a case were properly filed with us, consistent with our jurisdiction, and that's perfectly appropriate. But here's the subtext of all this. There are two court systems, federal and state. And you can sue in federal court, or you can sue in state court if you have certain kinds of jurisdiction. And then it bubbles up. It ends up in the Wisconsin Supreme Court if it's state. It ends up in the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals if it's federal. And then either one of them, the loser, can go to the U.S. Supreme Court, which is the 800-pound gorilla. The U.S. Supreme Court is the big kahuna. They can do overrule or affirm a state Supreme Court decision. They can overrule or affirm an appellate court decision in the federal system. So no state Supreme Court justice, although in this case, one of them did. One of them did, Rebecca Bradley. But the other six, I think, saw the light. I've raised this issue before on the show. They're not about to, in effect, impliedly say to the federal court, stay out of it. You can't do that. That would be unwise, unenforceable, and could very well result in a greater likelihood of the federal courts handling a redistricting case. So they did the right thing. I don't know their reasons, but basically you have the three people who are seen as Democrats, even though they're somewhat independent, and they follow the Constitution. Brian Hagedorn, who's seen as a Republican, but he follows the Constitution, when it comes, especially when it comes to our democracy, which I respect quite a bit. And then the other three, you know, one thing to keep in mind, the vast majority of cases are bipartisan. The vast majority of cases are bipartisan. The average business dispute, the average criminal dispute isn't all that remarkable. This precedent, what hits the headlines are the handful where there is something ideological at stake. And that's where you want people who have good judgment, who are fair, who have read the Constitution and do the right thing, regardless of their personal inclinations. One other thing, going down to Florida, Matt Gaetz is in a little bit of hot water, a lot more than he was. You're not going to see a lot of talk from him now. His buddy, this Joel Greenberg, who was a tax collector down there, is going to plead guilty to 6 counts, trafficking, and in the process is giving the following testimony. That Gaetz, would show up at fundraisers with escorts paid for by campaign funds. They'd snort cocaine in hotel rooms afterwards. And what does Gaetz say? He says, public statement, I'm being falsely accused of exchanging money for naughty favors. I mean, that's a strange thing, okay? A guy is facing this kind of stuff and he goes, I'm being falsely accused for exchanging money for naughty favors. Well, nobody believes him. He then compared what he was accused of to earmarks in the budget. He said, I'm against earmarks, so I wouldn't have done that. He's grasping. The truth is, if he has good lawyers, they're going to tell him, Gaetz, just keep quiet, leave this to the lawyers. But right now, he's getting in deeper and deeper. I don't see how the Republican Party and Kevin McCarthy, you know, frankly, even keep him on committees. And he was bad news all along. I don't take any pleasure in somebody's downfall, but the truth of the matter is, this guy was, attacked Pelosi. He attacked democracy. He broke into a hearing of Adam Schiff's committee with his cell phones where they could take pictures. He should be out of Congress. Okay, we're coming to the end of the show. It's been a great show. Matt Flynn Direct back tomorrow. You can stand by for some great programming. You know who it is. Stephanie Miller, Tom Hartman, Devil's Advocate with Diamond Krupp, Earl Ingram, and my man, Pizza Box Mike on Saturdays. Matt Flynn Direct signing off. Back tomorrow, same time, same place.